You're listening to Wheelationships.
New series that we're calling The Decided Life. And today I want to explain what this series is about and what we're going to cover over the next 7 weeks. Today is just an introduction. So if you talk to somebody after class, and you can truthfully tell them what this is about, and you can truthfully tell them, no, it's starting next week, because it's really starting next week. This is just an introduction. And you can say, hey, won't you join me? And that'll be good. Let me say up front, as we do with pretty much every series, that everything that we do in here, we use the Bible as a basis, but we also use other books that we pull from. And two authors that we're pulling a lot from during this series are Andy Stanley and Andy Andrews. Now, you might remember Andy Stanley. We used him in North Point, pastor from Atlanta. We used his Guardrail series not too long ago. Andy Andrews, you might know if you've ever read the book The Traveler's Gift or The Noticer. Anybody ever read those? Either of those two books? Okay. They're very good, and they've been on the New York Times bestseller list. And he has a new book called The Seven Decisions, and so we're pulling a lot from that. We're borrowing. When I say borrowing, normally we just outright steal. So today is pretty much a straight ripoff of Andy Stanley, especially if you've ever, you can see at the top of your notes, we're going to talk about The Principle of the Path, which is actually the name of one of his books. But just going to give you a little kind of thing of where we're going. The overriding question that we have during this series, and the overriding thing that we're looking at over the next 2 months, is at the top of your very top of your notes, top of the page, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? And I'm not talking about like after service, where do you want to go eat? More of a life question. Where do you want to go? And you may be at that point, you say, I've already been. Okay. I really don't want to go anywhere. That's fine. We're going to figure that out too. When was the last, speaking of after church, when was the last time you were somewhere out with someone else, more than just you? It may have been one person or a group, and you heard that infamous question, where do you want to go? When was the last time that happened with you? Okay. This morning. I hope that wasn't a real question. I hope it wasn't, we're going to church. After, okay. You know, it was lunchtime, it was dinner time, and you had to decide where to go eat. Okay. How did that go? What did that sound like? Did you go, where do you want to go? Let's go to Wendy's. Okay, there we go. Was it that simple for all of you? How to go, Tony?
Where would you like to go to eat? Mm-hmm. I'd like to go to Wendy's. No, I'm not really feeling that. How about Taco Bell? No, I'm not really feeling that. Yeah. How about Cracker Barrel? No. Listen, why don't you just tell us where you'd like to go, and we'll go there. Wait. Suggestions?
And then it was, oh, I don't care. Where do you want to go? Exactly. Oh, I really don't care. But you don't want to go to Wendy's? No.
We just, wherever we stop, okay, yeah. Let's eat here.
Yeah, exactly. I've been out with Wendell and said, where do you want to go eat? I don't care. Where do you want to go eat? I don't, doesn't matter. Everything's good. We like it all.
I don't know about y'all, but Wendy's and Taco Bell never enter.
No. Yeah. Okay. Well, here's some bad news for some of you if you've had those conversations. This series is not about decision making. Okay. We're not going to help you figure out how to make decisions. It's not what we're doing. Sorry. Yeah. See ya. If you have trouble making decisions, that's a topic for another day. And it's not today or next week. We are going to talk about seven very important principles. With these seven principles, we're going to talk about a decision to be made when we face those seven principles. The object is going to be to help you discover where you want to go. It's to help you make the choice necessary to get where you want to go. The assumption here is that we all have a future. Even if you drop dead in the middle of this class, you have a future somewhere. But if you make it through this class and through the rest of this day, and maybe even the rest of this week, the rest of this year, maybe 50 years in the future, or less, you have a future. We all have a future. And that means if we have a future, we probably will not stay where we are for that future. Probably. That's the assumption. So the question is, relationally, emotionally, financially, spiritually, mentally, with your family, with your spouse, with your friends, with God, where do you want to go? In that future, where do you want to end up? That's kind of what we're looking at. And I'm not going to ask you to answer that question quite yet of where you want to go. But that's kind of what's in the back of our mind here, is where you want to go. You might have no idea. And like I said, you might say, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay exactly where I am. Everything is A-okay. Probably not. There's probably at least one of those areas that you would like to be better. Like you want your spiritual life to be more fulfilling. You want your financial life to be richer. You want your relationships to be better. You want your family to be closer. You want your health to be stronger. At least one of those areas, right? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm talking to the right group, right? So I said we're going to look at seven principles, and actually it's eight if you count the principle we're going to talk about today. And because this is more of a bonus principle. It's a principle to get us started on the other principles. And again, this is completely borrowed. And the principle is this. Let me get to it. The principle of the path is very simply this: direction determines destination. Direction determines destination. And you might say, well, not with my spouse. You know, not with my wife. Every time I head towards Bass Pro, we end up in Target. It might be funny, but it's not true. It's actually not true. The way our universe works is this. If I start out at point A and I take a path towards point B, where will I end up? Point B, every time. No matter how humorous you want to be, if you start at point A and you take the path that goes to point B, you're going to end up at point B every single time. Our direction determines our destination. Let me get a little less abstract. If you go out to Williams Road, and this will be a little direction test for some of you. If you go out to Williams Road, that's the road on the side there, the main parking lot, and you head south until the road ends. Now, a hint, that's towards the south campus. That's why we call this the north campus and not the south campus. If you go out to Williams Road and you head south and you go until the road ends, where will you end up? Bayshore Road. Very good. Okay. It dead ends right there at Bayshore Road. Okay. I know. Rachel, just sit tight. You'll be all right. Let's say you make it to Bayshore Road and you head east. That's towards the interstate. And you go on Bayshore Road till the road ends. Where will you end up? 31. Highway 31, right there by the Civic Center. Okay, that little traffic light there. If you take that path, it will happen every time. Now, if you go east, you will... Let me ask, will you pass a Winn-Dixie? No. Will you pass a Walmart? No. You will You'll pass Lawhans, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now, so what happens? What happens if you are driving on Bayshore east from Williams Road, heading towards that destination, and you suddenly see a Winn-Dixie on your left? Okay. One of two things have happened. Either miraculously a Winn-Dixie has sprung up, or you are not actually going east. You are going west. You are going a different direction. That's the principle of the path. Direction determines destination. Pretty clear, right? You got that? Pretty simple. The thing is, this principle is about way more than cars and driving. It's way more than about Google Maps. If I'm taking steps in a particular direction, and if I keep following the path I am on, I will inevitably end at a particular destination. Got that? If I am taking steps in a particular direction, and I am on that path, I will end up at a specific and certain destination. Jesus said it this way: you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. It's there in your notes in Matthew. Of course, Jesus was using figurative language here for a gate. And in another place, he uses that same figurative language, but he explains more fully what he means. In John, he says, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Direction determines destination. And Jesus says here, you go through that gate, you go the path of the narrow way, and you will find a rich and satisfying life. If you go some other way, if you go a different direction, you're going to end up someplace you really don't want to be. Like the other things we talk about in this series, this is a principle. Okay, and you need to understand, when I say we're going to talk about seven principles, we got this principle here, the principle of the path, you need to understand what a principle is. A principle is not just a rule that I made up or anyone made up. A principle is not a law that's been passed by Congress. A principle means that it's just the way it works. It's just the way our universe works. You go on any path, you go in any direction, your direction will determine your destination every single time. It's just the way it works. For instance, how many of you know who Archimedes was? Anybody know who Archimedes, you ever heard that name? Okay, all right. You know who he was? How many of you know who he was? You've heard the name. He was a mathematician. He was a mathematician. He was a Greek mathematician back around the mid-200s BC, okay? And he was a pretty smart guy. Archimedes discovered his own principle. It's called the Archimedes principle. Anybody know what the Archimedes principle is? No? Anybody? No? What is it? Bathtub guy. Is that what you said? Yes. Archimedes is the bathtub guy. All right. Archimedes had this principle. It's a principle of buoyancy. And here's what Archimedes' principle says. It says, any object wholly or partially immersed in a fluid is buoyed up by a force equal to the weight of the fluid displaced by the object. Do you know what that means? What? Some things float and some things don't. Okay. And it really doesn't matter if you understand what I just said. It doesn't matter if you have that principle memorized, if you knew all about Archimedes, if you know where he came from, if you knew his background, if you knew all the other things he discovered. It doesn't matter. Okay. Because whether you know who he was or what his principle says, it doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter if you agree with that principle, because that principle works whether you agree with it or not, whether you know it or not. If you put a sound boat in water, it's going to float because of Archimedes' principle. Because it displaces water in a certain way that it floats. If you take, so whether you take a 5-ounce rock and you throw it in to a body of water, or you take a 5-ton ship and you throw it into a body of water, they are both going to react because of Archimedes' principle. And neither the rock nor the boat need to know Archimedes' principle. The rock is going to sink. The 5-ton ship is going to float because of the principle. Nobody made that up. Archimedes didn't design this and say, okay, everything's got to obey this principle. Everything just does obey the principle, regardless. It's true. It works, whether you agree with it or not, whether you explain or not, whether you or not you ever think about it. You may not have even heard of that, but you swam. You went swimming. Or you got in a boat or something like that. Or you had your rubber duck in the bathtub. Bathtub guy. Okay. But why... So why does it matter? Why does it matter that anyone knows what Archimedes' principle? If it just works, why should we even talk about it? Well, because it explains why some things float and other things don't float, it pays to pay attention to it. The value of understanding God's principles is in choosing to leverage them to our advantage. When you know God's principles, when you know how he's put things together and you can leverage them to your advantage, you're way ahead. If you're trying to build a boat, it pays to know the Archimedes principles and to know how much water needs to be displaced and how to build that boat. It won't keep you from sinking, however. Knowing the principle is not going to help you from sinking. Choosing to leverage it to your advantage is going to help you. Knowing the principle of the path, knowing that direction determines destination, is not going to keep you from ending up in the wrong place. Only when you choose to leverage it to your advantage are you going to end up where you want to go. Likewise, we're going to talk about 7 other principles, and knowing the principles aren't going to get you where you want to go, but you have to leverage the principles. You have to make decisions and choices that leverage those principles. On the other hand, of course, you can ignore the principle. You can pretend it doesn't exist. You might get lucky. Okay. You can pretend that Archimedes' principle doesn't exist and hope you get lucky. Okay, but I only know of 2 people that ever walked on water, and I don't think the odds are good that you're going to. So ignoring God's principles often leads to regret. We know what happens when we eat too much. Right? We know what happens when we lose our temper. We know where that path leads. We know where the path we're at. We know when we're having the conversation and things that should stay in here come out here. We know where that path is going. And when we ignore the fact that our direction determines our destination, we often end up with regret. We end up in a place we never wanted to go, the place we never intended to be, the place we desperately want out of. Then what? What happens when we take it and we end up in a place that we never wanted to go? What happens when we take that direction and we end up in the wrong destination? You know what happens for a lot of us? We our marriage is in trouble. Our kids aren't doing what we want them to do. Our finances are bad. Our health goes away. What do we do? I'll tell you, a lot of people do what we often do. We look for a solution. Oh, I got to figure out how to fix this. I got problems. Oh, I got problems. And I need a fix. I got a spouse who is driving me crazy. I have kids who are driving me crazy. I have finances that are in the toilet. I need a fix. I've done it. I'm sure you've done it. Looking for a fix to your problems. We go to God. We say, God, help me out here. I need a miracle. I need a fix. Tell me what to do. Give me a solution. Have you ever been lost? I mean, like, really lost?
Yeah, your GPS tells you to recalculate.
Yeah, recomputing. Yeah. Trudy's talked about this. She's been lost. Some of you are directionally challenged, okay? Getting lost is very familiar ground for you, okay? And here's the thing. She knows this. And so she does everything she possibly can not to get lost, right? She That's the punchline, but thank you. Yeah, it's still she gets the directions. I want turn by turn. Don't tell me east and west. I got to turn left. I got to turn right. Okay. What's around when I'm turning left? What's around me? What do I see? What goes through all the things? She has, you know, she's got both maps apps on her phone and wrong half the time. Yeah, I know. Okay. I'm good with directions. I feel. Not directionally challenged. I usually have a good sense of what direction I'm going. I'm good with the Maps app on my phone. I get lost. I've been lost where I thought I was going the right way. I may have told you some time ago I was out in Arizona and we went to an event and it was out in the desert. It was at a old Tucson studios outside of Tucson. And so we went out there. It was daylight when we went out, and I was driving by myself. And when we left, I noticed, you know, it was kind of a few turns going in. And when we left, it was dark. And I, some reason, the people that were in front of me, I lost sight of them. And so I went out, and I went out, and I turned. And after a while, I was like, I do not think I'm going the right way. And in fact, I was not going the right way. I was headed out into the desert, you know. And it's not like here where you eventually run into a canal and you have to turn around, you're fine. I'm in the desert. So it took me quite a while to get back where I needed to go. And all it took for me to get lost was to make a wrong turn. One wrong turn. And suddenly, I was going the wrong direction. When you're lost, you don't need a solution. You don't need a fix. What you need is a direction. There is no fix for being lost. The fix is to find where you are. The fix is to get unlost. We need to stop looking for solutions to our problems and begin to look for directions that need to change. We need to stop looking for solutions to our problems and begin to look for directions that need to change. We're good at pointing at our problems. We're pretty clear about our problems. Most of the times, we don't have problems that need to be solved. We've simply pointed out a direction that needs to change. To get from where we don't want to be to where we want to be requires two things. It requires time and a change of direction. If you get lost, however long you've been lost, it's going to take you about that time to get unlost. If you've driven 100 miles the wrong way, you're not going to get an instantaneous fix unless you are in Star Trek universe, which you're not. It's going to take you 100 miles to get back. So it's going to take time. It's going to take a change of direction. Here are four quick things about getting lost that you need to understand. Number one, we don't get lost on purpose. Anybody here get lost on purpose? I don't. You know, maybe you have for some weird reason. Maybe you're on a date and, you know, I don't know where we are. Maybe we ought to pull over. But generally speaking, we don't get lost on purpose. That's not how getting lost happens. It's not where I'm intending to be. I'm not intentionally ignoring this principle of the path. I know that direction determines destination. I think I'm going the right direction, but suddenly I'm not. I'm trying to stay on course. I'm doing everything I know to get to where I want to go. I don't mean to be in debt. I mean to be a better friend. I mean to be a better spouse. I'm intending to be a person of God that I want to be. I want to be a better husband, mother, father, Christian. In fact, what we tend to do is we lean very hard on our intentions. You say, I really intend to be this way. And I'm leaning on the fact that I am really trying. And that's got to count for something, right? Because obviously, since I intend it so much, I'll naturally end up. It's all going to be good. God's going to work. It says he works all things together for good, right? So I'm going to end up where I need to be. Oblivious of the direction that we actually take. Or we lean very hard on our abilities or our talents or our preparation or all of those things. So we say, there's no way I'll get lost. It'll work out. It's like this sports phrase I hate when teams say, well, we just wanted it more than they did. No, you both wanted it. You both wanted to win. It wasn't that they wanted it more, you wanted it more. One of you played better than the other. One of you did what you were supposed to. You stayed on the path to victory, and the other team took a derailing down some other dark alley like my team did yesterday. First Peter says, once you were like sheep who wandered away. That's how getting lost happens. You wander away. Isaiah gets a little stronger, a little more pointed. We all, Peter said, once, oh yeah, that one time you got lost. Isaiah, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And this takes us to the second point. We are prone to choosing the wrong path. It doesn't just happen. We are all, from a life standpoint, we are all directionally challenged. We have a real talent for choosing paths that do not lead in the direction we want to go. Let me give you some examples. A single woman who says, I want to meet and one day marry a great Christian guy who's really got his act together, but then she dates whoever asks her out as long as he's cute. A single guy who says, I want a great sex life once I'm married, but he practices with every girl he dates along the way. A married woman who says, I want to have a great relationship with my husband, but then she makes the children a priority over him. A husband who says, I want my kids to respect me as they grow up, and then he openly flirts with other women in the neighborhood. A young Christian who says, I want to develop a deep and lasting intimacy with God, so he gets up every morning early and catches up on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. A man who says, I want to grow old and invest the later years of my life in my grandchildren, but then he neglects his health. A couple says, we'd like our children to develop a personal relationship with God and choose friends who have done the same, but then they skip church every weekend and head to the lake. Newlyweds who determine to be financially secure by the time they reach their parents' age then adopt a lifestyle sustained by debt and leverage assets. A high school freshman who intends to graduate with a GPA that'll open up options for college, but then he doesn't study. All of those things are where we are prone to say, I intend to, I want to, I really mean to, but then we choose the wrong path, and it never gets us to where we think we want to go. Thirdly, the third thing about getting lost is we never know precisely when it happens. Do you ever know precisely when you got lost? That would make getting lost a lot easier if that happened, but then you really wouldn't be lost. We never know where exactly the line is where we went from, I know exactly where I am, to I have no idea where I am. There's this huge middle ground where it's like, it looks familiar. Maybe. Am I still? Have we gone past this? Did we see that before? I'm not sure. And then you eventually go, yeah, we're lost. I have no idea. It's not like we can say, well, 50 feet ago, I knew exactly where I was. So if I go back 50 feet, I will know exactly where I am. It doesn't work that way. You never know quite exactly when it happened. But it begins the moment you choose. The moment we choose the wrong direction. We are on our way to getting lost. Show me a decision, and I'll show you a direction. Our decision point our lives in the directions we're about to head. And if your goal is cleanliness, then you shouldn't play in the mud, because you are going to end up at the wrong destination. If you want to lose 20 pounds, don't spend all your time at Dunkin' Donuts. If you want to remain faithful to your spouse, don't linger with that cute single person at work or online. Those are pathways. They lead somewhere. Decisions we make before we get lost will determine which way we go. Today's choices become tomorrow's circumstances. And the fourth thing is, the path we're on always determines where we end up. That's pretty much the point of today. The path we're on always determines where we end up. Direction, not intentions, not hopes, not dreams, not beliefs, not intellect, not education, not preparation. Direction determines destination. You might remember this verse from last summer. Pastor taught about the old godly way, and he used this verse from Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says: stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path, and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. Well, if that's not the road we want, you're not going to get where you think you want to go. It's more likely today, as you listen to this, it's likely that as I've been talking about this, you probably thought of some other people, and you're thinking, man, I wish they would have been here to hear this. Because you look at them, and you know from outside, you're looking and you're going, bud, you are headed the wrong way. Dear, you are going down that path, and I know where that leads. You probably thought of at least one person, if not several, that you wish could really hear. Well, guess what? They're not here. You are, which means that God wanted you to hear it. So here are a few questions for you to consider. And the first is our title. I didn't write it down because it's the title. Where do you want to go? That's the first thing to consider. The second is this: are there discrepancies between what you desire in your heart and what you're doing with your life? Are there discrepancies between what you desire, where you really want to be, and what you're actually doing? And the third question is this: is there alignment between your intentions and your direction? Like I said, it's closely related to the second question there. You know, it's easy to see this from the outside looking in. Okay. I know we're at the end of our notes, and so your habit is to fold them up, put them away, and turn off your ears, but hang on just a second. One story, and then we'll go. It's our custom. It has become our custom in our family over the last, I don't know how many years, that the week of Thanksgiving, I'm thinking Scrooge because it relates to Scrooge. The week of Thanksgiving, I take off. It used to be back in the day, we would have Scrooge practices during that week, and so I couldn't take off, and then everybody took off anyway and went on their vacations, and it was just like me and Trudy, so it was like, okay, we might as well cancel these practices. So once we started doing that, then I started taking that week off because that's a good preparation before we get into the last 2 weeks of Scrooge. So it's been going on for a while. Also, Trudy has, we started the tradition of big family Thanksgiving meal. And so that week, part of my duties, as you know, is grocery shopping. And so during that week, I'll go and maybe get some things earlier. But then, you know, the day before Thanksgiving, a lot of times I'll go to get the fresh vegetables and stuff that she'll use for Thanksgiving meal. So 2005 was one of those times. Back in 2005, Sammy was 12. And for whatever reason, that particular day, the kids used to go with me to Walmart, to the store. And Sammy decided he was going to go with me that day to Walmart. And so we did our thing, went to Walmart on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and did our thing. Of course, Thanksgiving, you know, the traffic's like, it's pretty busy. And as we were leaving Walmart, North Fort Myers, you can picture it there, and going out to that stoplight where, across from where the Murphy station is, which wasn't there in 2005. But we were at that stoplight, and I remember everything. What I'm telling you, the story I'm telling you about happened all in a space of a very short time, maybe 10, 15 seconds. It takes like eight times longer to tell this story. But I'm going up to the stoplight there, and I had kind of hurried up to get up there and pulled out, as you oftentimes do. Didn't pull out all the way, just pulled out around the corner so I could see the traffic coming, and kind of got in the crosswalk. And I'm sitting there, and I look to my left, and I see the traffic coming from 41. They were coming across there, and out in the middle, I saw an older model car. I can't tell you what kind of car. It struck me like it was a Ford LTD. It was an older car. It was big. It was heavy. And the lady there was in the left turn lane waiting to come into Walmart. And I just saw everything happening, and I'm seeing it like I'm talking about this path where you see other people and you're going, that is not good. And in my head, I'm going, no. Because I could see her pulling out. I could see there was a white pickup and another vehicle. I don't remember what the other vehicle was, white pickup coming. And she started to come. And I was like, in my head, I was screaming, no. And didn't have time to really say it. And she pulled right out in front. My thought was, what are you thinking? I remember clearly thinking, what are you thinking? And she pulled right out in front, and bam. And the guy in the it was a larger pickup, hit her on the passenger side, spun her, and she spun back in, headed toward me. I did have time to say no. I said that out loud. No, because I saw it coming, nowhere I could go because the other traffic was coming, and this 2005. Our van was less than a year old, and she hit me right in the side, right at the pillar behind my door, her back end, boom. And so I couldn't get out. People started coming, running over and going to her, and I couldn't do anything. I told Sammy, just stay right where you are. Let's just sit here, because I couldn't get out. And so we were there, and I don't know what that lady was intending to do. She was turning in, so maybe she was intending to go to Walmart and pick up her last few vegetables for Thanksgiving. Maybe she was headed to the bank or the credit union, or maybe she was headed to some other store where she was going. I don't know what she intended. I'm pretty sure she did not intend to get into an accident. I'm really fairly certain it was not her intention to die that day. But intentions don't matter. Direction matters. And direction was everything. That's why when we discover discrepancies between what we desire and what we're doing, we need to pay attention. When we discover those and there's not an alignment, we need to stop and we need to pay attention. Because these are not isolated events that mean nothing. They're steps that lead somewhere. Where do you want to go? Let's pray. God, we thank you for our time in your word. We ask that you would help us to gather this and to be able to process it, Lord, so that we can live lives that reflect where we want to be, how we want to reflect you in all that we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good day.